Today on Compassion Radio, a special encore presentation of Chasing the Word.
Good morning and welcome to Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. Honey, it's great to be back in the Book of Psalms.
Yeah, we're in the Book of Psalms for about four more episodes here. We are in these very short psalms that are the songs of ascent, which is what the series is. Songs that were sung by the people like worship choruses going to the temple. Mm-hmm. And when we say going to the temple, we're not talking about going around the corner from their house. Some people did live in Jerusalem, but the vast majority did not. And they took these long, long treks.
Quite a journey, yes.
And they would have a guide, usually, a rabbi or somebody from their village that would guide them along the way. Or they might even have hired people to come down and lead them up to the temple and be like cruise directors. Bring to your attention the things that were important about the holiday and how to prepare your hearts, the common roads that were traveled so often by people going up to the high holy days. Mm-hmm. We are now on the Temple Mount. As far as we understand it, these last 5 or 10 of the Psalms of Ascent are when you've ascended. You're looking up now at the temple right in front of you. This is the big moment. And we're pushed every time to think of something different, some new aspect of God's character. Today's one is kind of a redirect again.
Yeah, well, we've been going through the last few Psalms that have talked about the persecution and the defeat that they've felt and the depths of grief and lament that they've experienced and being reminded of the hard times and then turn your face toward the one who saves.
Right.
This one is similar to that, but it is about realizing your position, where you stand before the Holy of Holies.
And what you think about while you're there.
Yeah.
This whole Psalms of Ascent, the songbook that is used for this, wasn't necessarily all assembled in the times when the first temple existed. This is an accumulation of the worship life of a historical Israel over many hundreds of years. So it's quite possible that these songs were added to it at the end of the assembly of the Psalms.
Hmm.
Who knows? There were deep lessons being taught to the people about what your forefathers have gone through, what God has led them through, and now what we're about to do.
Mm-hmm. This psalm is like a confession, a confession of where you have been, where you are currently, and what you see as your position before God. I really like it in the NIV, so I'm going to read it in that, and then we'll talk about some other translations as well. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. David gets right to the point this psalm. He's not mincing words. He's not trying to be flowery or beautiful speech or of any kind. He's just saying, this is where I'm at.
Some of the Psalms are like movies. It's like watching a major motion picture.
Yeah.
Other ones are like scenes. You can see yourself moving through this or dealing with something difficult and the resolve that happens when two people, God and you, finally resolve the issue. This one for me is a snapshot. Mm. It's just a picture. I can see David writing a quick psalm, and it does say this is a psalm of David.
Mm-hmm.
He sees a picture of a mother walking with her child. A child who is weaned, who is now able to walk on his own or her own next to mom. And together they're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The child would have to follow the lead of the parent, probably have to keep up with the pace of the parent. Something's happening here. He's seen this scene somewhere. And he's just taken a picture of it and put this in a psalm. He's saying, my soul is like that child. My soul is like the weaned child following the mother. I've got the ability to walk, but I really don't know what I'm in for. I'm not the adult here. The one who leads me is. And he knows about the images of shepherds. He's talked about them forever because he was one. And he talks about God being a shepherd. And I imagine if he had been raised in some other industry, he probably would have seen God as the perfect example of someone who performs that skill. But God chose for him in history to be a shepherd. Therefore, he sees leadership. He sees following everywhere he goes.
Well, he sees the contentment of this child as well. He sees that this child is calmed and quieted and is completely trusting in where its mother is leading him. You can feel that. It's a very palpable thing to me.
Yeah.
I can feel this calm, this quiet, this trusting hand in my hand as a mother. I have felt that my child is trusting me to lead them. They're trusting me to lead them. They're trusting that I am not going to lead them into danger. They're calm and they're following.
And they might even be excited.
Yeah.
Think about leading your kid to the gates of Disneyland or something and seeing, oh, there it is. It's going to happen. This big place you've talked about all this time, I'm seeing it too. And how does a child look up at that temple and see it for the first time? If we're really standing and looking right at the temple and God's saying, pay attention here. I'm like a child being led by the mother. That's what David says in this psalm. We need to see ourselves as David sees himself in this psalm. That's the message. So what does the child see? I would imagine that it would be a strange and sparkling place. I was, I think, 17 years old when I first got to see the Temple Mount myself, and it was still wide open. You could walk right up to it and you go through the whole Temple Mount. As a tourist, you could still do that. There was no problem with that. And so we got to walk back and forth across all the stones. And of course, the Dome of the Rock is occupying the high point on that hill where they believe this was the rock where Abraham laid out Isaac for the offering in the Old Testament. But back and forth across the whole Temple Mount, they really don't know even now where the temple itself sat. But I did imagine as I walked back and forth that somewhere in this place that I'm walking over right now must have been where the temple was, because I walked back and forth all over that Temple Mount. This was like my one day. Probably never again in my life was I going to get a chance to actually be here and sense it myself. So I did. I walked back and forth. And I know that I know somewhere in there, I walked over probably the Holy of Holies. I don't fear that. I don't fear it being something that is a do not do or do not go zone. I believe as Christians, we have perfect freedom to be with him because he's already got his holiness living within us. I'm not afraid of my blessing being torn away from me or receding from me. It's already in me. And I know that in my heart of hearts that God's there. So there's no fear in being in places where he has been in the past. But even as a 17-year-old looking around at this temple, it's a busy place. There are people going to and fro, and the stones themselves are polished and brilliant in the sun. And the Dome of the Rock covered in gold. You know, the original temple that stood somewhere on that mount also had gold flourishes everywhere. You can imagine a small child standing on all these massive flagstones, looking up at all this impressive architecture. They'd never seen anything like this in their life in their village. And now they are. I want to be like David sees himself as being trusting, expectant, amazed, and wondering what's coming next. And absolutely certain that if I follow mom here, I'm going to be okay.
He talks about the innocence of a child.
Yes.
He talks about how he's not going to concern himself with things that are too lofty for him, things that are great matters that I don't need to concern myself with. David was a king. He had to concern himself with a lot of great matters. But he's saying here, I'm not proud. I'm not going to be haughty. I'm not going to think of myself as better than I am. I'm going to let God live in that mystery box. We have a friend who says God's mystery box is things that I don't understand. David is all about that. He's allowing God's mystery to inform him. And he's not going to concern himself with things that he knows he really can't understand. I really want to live like that. I want to be so trusting and so willing to take God's hand and go where he leads me and not fear or not worry or be anxious about things that I really don't understand.
Yeah. Or fret about things we imagine might be.
Exactly.
In the voice translation, they expand a bit, amplify that phrase in verse 1. O eternal one, my heart is not occupied with proud thoughts. My eyes do not look down on others. I don't even begin to get involved in matters too big, matters of faith, state, and business, or the many things that defy my ability to understand them. Of one thing I am certain, my soul has become calm, quiet, and contented in you. Like a weaned child resting upon his mother, I am quiet. My soul is like this weaned child. O Israel, stake your trust completely in the eternal, from this very moment and into the vast future. Now, it's somewhat poetic, but it's also kind of a list of stuff to not worry about. Now, if you are in the temple and you've got lots of business you left behind to come be in this place, you're going to be shedding thoughts and ideas along the way, having to leave it behind because I've got to do God business this week, right? So if we're at least releasing these to God's care, we're going to be faithing as we go there. We're going to be doing God business. We're going to be doing honors of state. The king is in front of us. We will be thinking about the things on that level and not thinking about the petty-ish kind of things that we left behind.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
Now, if you are in the temple and you've got lots of business you left behind to come be in this place, you're going to be shedding thoughts and ideas along the way, having to leave it behind because I've got to do God business this week, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're at least releasing these to God's care, we're going to be faithing as we go there. We're going to be doing God business. We're going to be doing honors of state. The king is in front of us. We will be thinking about the things on that level and not thinking about the petty-ish kind of things that we left behind. That's at our best, I think, as adults. And I think Dave is saying, as a king, probably writing the song, man, if I could just be like that child again. Mm-hmm. In fact, I choose to be like that child. And maybe David wrote this in his mind on the way to the temple one morning when he was actually going there to pray and watching some mother with a child walking there.
Could be.
He takes snapshots everywhere he goes. I'm sure if he had a camera with him, he would have been taking pictures back then and probably sticking them up on his message board saying, I got to write a song about this. He's an idea person based on what he feels and senses around him. He is very much present. That's what I appreciate about David again. Now, I don't know if matters of faith, state, and business are really in his mind at that time, but the voice expands that thought, saying these are haughty matters. These are the things that are taken care of by those who are powerful, mm-hmm. who are honored, who own much.
Things too wonderful for me, he says.
Yeah. And take care of things for us. They make our nation work. You know, they're the people that actually make the decisions. Whoever these people are, Dave is saying, I'm not that right now. I'm this kid.
Mm-hmm. I think about the line in the first verse of the voice translation that says, I don't begin to get involved with matters too big. And then it lists them, but then it says, or the many things that defy my ability to understand them.
Yeah.
If I'm honest... There's a lot of things that defy my ability to understand them. And I spend too much time, just a ridiculous amount of time, probably ruminating on those things, being anxious about those things, things that I can't understand that are beyond my ability to understand, things that I can't fix, things that I can't solve or manipulate. They're just mysteries or they're just situations that are beyond my control. And David says, I'm not even going to begin to get involved with that.
Not here, not now.
I am going to be calm and contented in the spirit. That is such a worthy goal.
Yeah, you know, the word things we're using here in English, too, is not really what I think the psalm is talking about. He's talking about the thoughts, the places where our minds camp out.
Mm.
These things we talk about, usually we think about tangible things like this coffee mug next to me or this microphone that's in front of me.
Yeah.
Those are things. But he's not talking about those things here, is he? He's talking about how he responds to the thoughts and the worries of this life and how they interact with or clash with the eternal.
Right.
So is that a thing? Well, yeah, in one sense it is. But it's not something you're going to sit on your counter and say, okay, that right there is worry.
That's the thing.
Or this thing here is the future. It's not. We use that word to try to catch it for the moment so we can look at it. The thoughts themselves, we don't often think about being something that we can actually turn over in our hands and admire or respond to or contradict or argue with. We just think about thoughts as being something that flows through us. But they're really not, because even Paul says, take your thoughts captive.
Yeah.
If they're wandering places they don't need to go, grab them, pull them back. Tell them what to do. That's an amazing privilege I think we have to actually order our thoughts. And when they say, order my thoughts, Lord, it means both put them in order and to command them.
Tell them what to do.
It means both things.
Yeah.
So in this place, does the child need to worry about what to think? No. The child already thinks about the things it knows are natural to think about in his state. He's a weaned child. He doesn't have to be nursed. He actually has thoughts. And there's something special about being weaned, and especially in ancient cultures. Once you're weaned, you are a third of the way towards being a full human being. You no longer are dependent on another human being just to survive. Mm. You can now feed yourself. You can now walk. You can do things you couldn't do as you were a baby in swaddling clothes being carried around. Mm-hmm. You have not emerged from that state into a place of thinking for yourself or thinking about the things that are higher. So it is a state that has a lot at stake for the human being. Why would David, do you think, want to regress all the way back to that place where he's still becoming, but not really a fully fledged human being according to their culture?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a place of confidence. It's a place knowing that my needs are met. Mm-hmm. There's going to be food. There's going to be shelter for me. And I don't have to make decisions about what to do next or how to find my food or how to find my shelter. I am provided for. I can be content. I'm safe. My parents, my mother, my siblings, my grandparents, all of those family members around me are watching out for me. And I have this ability to run free in these confines, but it's a safe place. It's like the fenced yard. I can run on every corner of this yard and I'm safe. I know I'm safe. And that is what David is talking about here. He's talking about a child who knows that they are taken care of, who is contented with the provision for them and over them, and is able to just live freely.
There's freedom in that, of course, when there's a place to be free within. He's also talking about the state of this child compared with what he was before. Mm-hmm. It says more than once in the psalm, quiet. I am quiet. I can rest. Well, what's he comparing that to? Well, the baby, he's thinking about having needs that have to be voiced all the time. The baby has no compunctions whatsoever about stating his opinion of things. I'm hungry. I'm wet. And it cries about it. It makes a noise, a racket, until that thing is addressed. They're clattering for attention. The baby in the arms of mother is the center of everything. Mm. The weaned child can be quiet. And if nothing else, maybe Dave is saying, I don't worry about these things. I want to have the mind of this weaned child, who is quiet. And what does the quiet mean? It's a lot more than just not making noise. It's about the state of your mind. Mm-hmm. And how often do we as adults sit around thinking, I'm thinking about absolutely nothing right now. Or there's nothing that I am thinking about during this time. And no, I'm not talking about being mindless about things. I'm saying literally being mindful. Mm-hmm. That there's something about being able to be in the state of a child where you're not thinking about those, quote, higher thoughts or those meta ideas that are outside of you. You're just being. That moment you're in is just restful. Mm. And you, of course, are thinking. You're sensing things all around you. In that moment, I don't think you're really thinking about the thing you're doing. You are experiencing it. And experiencing is a way of thinking. Mm. Your brain is active or you wouldn't be experiencing it. But you're not questioning your experience. You accept what's happening.
Yeah. I also think about the quieted spirit that David is talking about. I've calmed and quieted myself. Mm-hmm. I think about our kids, remembering back when they were this age, this toddler age, and they could fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah.
They would, in their high chair, fall asleep. They would, on the floor, playing with toys, just fall asleep. One of our sons would fall asleep under the kitchen table a lot. And so, or in the car or, you know, wherever they would just, when they were tired, they just would fall asleep. No worries. They were quieted and calm and they felt perfectly safe to do that. And I think about how David is saying, that's the kind of soul position I want to be in. That so calm, that safe place, that knowing that I am completely at ease, that I can rest.
Yeah.
And it's about resting our soul in the Creator God.
And that word, that rest word, is the root word of Shabbat, too. It's about entering into the rest of God.
Yeah.
And I think about that in English. What an interesting twist of phrase there. I want to experience the rest of God, not just a little bit I've experienced so far. I want to explore that. But how can I get to the rest of God without going into the rest of God? That's how we're getting into him. Yeah. Further in and further up has to do with entering in a way that you can enter in. Yeah. And you don't go into the house of the Lord shouting, complaining, announcing. You go in with quiet reverence. The priests themselves did not walk into the Holy of Holies to do business with God for the people, clanging pots and saying, God, I'm here. Are you in there? No, they go in very circumspect. They hush themselves. They reverently proceed. They bow. They genuflect. They lay flat before the throne of God. They have quieted themselves mm-hmm. on behalf of the entire nation. Mm-hmm. Before you, God, we are quiet. What do you have to say?
Wow, this little psalm of three verses is so full. I honestly didn't know if we could have much of a conversation about it because it's so short, but really digging into it, there is so much meat here
yeah.
and so much encouragement for us to be reminded of what it means to come as a child, literally as a child, with a calm and quiet spirit, knowing that they're taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a beautiful psalm.
And like all beautiful psalms, we honor them, we admire them, we sing them to each other. Every once in a while, we open it up and actually use our scalpel, our imagination, our minds to go between every single word mm-hmm. and see what's hiding here in yeah. plain sight. A study guide for all of these Bible studies that we do in the Chasing the Word series is available on our website. Every time we do one of these shows, we've got a link to a study guide right there for that particular scripture. We invite you to enjoy that for yourself. Download it anytime you want to. Share it with a friend. And we encourage you, of course, the reason we do this is to encourage you to do it yourself with somebody. Share the Word of God with somebody. Explore it together. Chase after the coattails of Jesus where he's hiding in plain sight in these scriptures. Because we believe, and we have experienced ourselves, when we do, he is not hard to find. Mm. In fact, he's playing a very kind game of hide and seek with us, and he wants to be known by what is happening in each of these scriptures. And these psalms are a beautiful way of doing this. And if the majesty of God's right in front of you, but you don't feel like you're worthy or able to enter in, then ask God to speak to the scriptures like these psalms. They make you ready for it.
Mm.
If you feel like you're out of sorts and don't know what to think because you're in a situation you don't know what to do with, these psalms are great for this. They reset, recalibrate our souls so that we in this moment can be present and we can acknowledge God's presence here as well. And that's what we got for you on today's Compassion Radio with Chasing the Word. We'll be back next week with the next of the series. And that means we've got four more to go in this series of Psalms of Ascent. Thanks for joining us today.
It is well.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do.
There's a scroll.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. We need you, friend, so contact us today.